I get in and share this word. Father, I pray that your people have ears to hear the glory of the risen Christ is so important for our church today. Father, we are really permeated with every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. And Father, I declare victory this morning on the ears of the hearer and on the lips of the speaker, so that, Father, we just draw closer in our understanding of you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been covering Isaiah 53. I had literally come to a new understanding of this particular passage. I had never seen it the way that I've been seeing it. I never saw grace connected to this. I never saw the full impact of what our risen Lord has done, because I never understood grace in the form that I do now. Matter of fact, when I finally caught the full revelation of this chapter, I just sat and wept for a long time. It was hard for me to fathom how much the Lord went to provide a full redemption for us. Now, there are doctrines, all kinds of doctrines on television. You know what? You need to be careful who you listen to, because there's a lot of trash that's going out all over that TV. A lot of it. And I'm going to tell you, our redemption doesn't require any payment. It just requires giving of ourselves. It doesn't require a payment. Are you following me? You can't pay God enough to move things off of your life that Jesus has not already done. Sue was telling me about a minister on TV. She didn't understand the full message of it, but she did hear the fact that if you want the curse removed, then you have to do a certain thing. People, I'm going to tell you what, the curse is done, finished. And I'm going to tell you something else. You stay away from them generational teachings. There was one generation that fulfilled our redemption. It was a generation of our risen Christ, Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Get away from that generational curse. I'm sorry, I'm going to be strong about it. I call it crap. Amen. Paul called it dung. I'll call it crap, if that's all right. But that's all it is to me, to sit there and deface our Lord like that. It angers me. It angers me to see the body of Christ still bound up in generational issues. When you get born again, old things do pass away. Behold, all things do become new. It's just according to how we think that those kind of things exist. And these ministers are not approved of God. Amen. They think they're approved of God because they got numbers. They think they're approved of God because it seems like their ministry is succeeding. But they still have to stand accountable to the Lord for their actions. Ezekiel 18 is very, very prophetic. He says, "What mean ye this, that the father has eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge?" Then as you begin to read it, it's very clear that the prophet said that the one who's going to stand accountable for his own life is the one that sinned, regardless of whether he sees his father do it. Whether his father was good or whether his father is bad, he's still accountable to his own life. You're not going to stand before the Lord and say, "I am what I am because of so-and-so was what they were." That ain't going to fly. It's just not going to fly with God. Because of the redemptive work that was done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to touch on some verses and we're going to move on into the New Testament. But as we were covering Isaiah 53, we covered verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 was talking about physical healing, where verse 5 is referring to mental healing. And then we have several verses that is very interesting, such as verse 4, it said, "He hath borne our griefs." He hath borne and he hath carried. Carried. I want you to make a note of those two words, born and carried. And I want you to notice in verse 5, the word wounded. In the Hebrew it means tormented. for our transgressions. The word for transgression in the Hebrew means rebellion and trespasses. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The word for iniquities here means faults, perversity, twisting of truth. That's why you have to understand this verse referring to mental healing. Now notice the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Underline upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And he's referring to mental healing. 1 Peter 2:24, in light of the text, is not referring to bodily healing, it's referring to mental healing. Now, we have to go on and begin to understand this word for chastisement. This word for chastisement is very interesting. It means the punishment, the correction, the punishment, the correction, the discipline, a correction which results in education. So the word chastisement literally means one who has been accused and therefore brought to correction through education, discipline. You know, that's why it says, parents, be careful how you handle your children, because you could cause them to grow up in wrath rather than correct discipline. Most of us want to discipline our children according to the way we were disciplined. But how do you know you were disciplined correctly? A lot of believers were not as they were growing up. Matter of fact, their parents taught them how to walk to school 10 miles in frozen snow. And they're living in San Diego, and the school's two blocks down the street. Just totally unrelatable statements that children don't relate to. But notice the word chastisement. It's very interesting. I want you to keep that in your mind. Then, if you go to verse 6, I want you to look at the last half of verse 6. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. In the Hebrew it says, he hath made the iniquity of us all to meet on him. He hath made the iniquity of us all to meet on him. And then in verse 7, he was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Then if you go down to verse 8, it says he was taken from confinement and from judgment. And it says, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. The Hebrew says, was the stripes or the strokes upon him. And he made his grave with the wicked. And with the rich in his deaths. In the Hebrew, it's plural. He took on two deaths. And this is hard for a lot of believers to understand. He took on physical death and he took on spiritual death. And he goes on to say, and this is what really just triggered something off in me. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We go right back to the chastisement. Yet, it pleased the Lord. And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I want you to underline that word bruise and make a note. It literally means to charge with the offenses. To charge with the offenses. Whose offenses? Yours and mine. Yours and mine. Yours and mine. Now let's go on. He hath put him to grief. This word grief means to be sick, to be weak, to be tormented. When thou shalt make his soul an offering. In the Hebrew, it's different. Or when his soul shall make an offering. And when his soul make an offering, meaning he voluntarily gave it. This is what we call a trespass offering. It literally means a trespass offering for sin. He shall see his seed, which is us, and he shall prolong his days, which is referring to us. It's a direct reference to 1 Corinthians 11:30. That we would not be judged with this world through the communion table of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our days can be prolonged if we so desire. Why? Because the grace of the Lord received our iniquities, received our transgressions. And I brought out before, and I can't bring it out enough, the same requirement for the new birth is the same requirement for a physical healing, the same requirement for a mental freedom. Amen. Same requirement. Now, the best way to really test the revelation and get the joy of it is to have your own body in sickness and disease and lay it on the line. And so, right away, the one thing I needed more than anything else was the healing on my backside. I guess it was called, Sue said she thought it was a sciatic nerve. And my arm. I got to the point where I couldn't even pick something up with my arm. For one thing, my truck window's fixed now, but you had a hard time rolling it down and rolling it up, going through the gate there on the base with your pass. I was doing that a lot. And I'm left-handed. I was painting with this hand. My arm, I was using muscles I'd never used before. My arm, I couldn't even, if I just tried to lift it, it would bring me pain. And when I got this revelation one morning here a couple of weeks ago, that this was connected directly with grace, I said, well then, if he took it, and he carried it into his chastisement, because your mind will always cough up enough unworthiness for you not to receive what belongs to you. And we're afraid to be using grace. We're afraid to use grace promiscuously. Well, if you use grace promiscuously, you're the idiot, not God. But it finally dawned on me, I don't use God's grace promiscuously, so my mind doesn't have to even cough that issue up. Like somebody said, you just can't ask God for just anything you want. And I said, well, you can if you know what to pray for. Yep. You see, our mind always coughs up condemnation. Yep. It always coughs up junk, and you got to learn to speak against that carnal mind. And I got out my little mini booklets that I use every day. These Kenneth Hagin mini booklets. I got a whole stack of them that side by side like that. And I'm pulling them out, and I pulled out the one that talked about what faith is. And I just went by his principles. I didn't go by any other minister's principles because he's the only one that I really had an eyewitness that got good results. And I went back to the basics of what he said. And he said one of the things that he was a stickler for, he said it more than anything else. And he said he dealt with his thought mind. He said, I went over there to where it says, whatever so lovely, pure, and of a good report, think on these things. And you know, you don't want to lie, but he said many times, I didn't share what was going on in my body. I just told them I got it. And they didn't know whether I had it or not. And he says, at first you feel like you're lying, but you got to make a decision when you've received it, not when you feel it. And so I said, well, I sure don't feel healed in my arm. I sure don't feel healed in the sciatic nerve, if that's what it was. I know it was tender enough that I couldn't even hardly sit down. And I says, well, Lord, this is such a revelation to me. I must have enough faith to believe for that part. We're going to start there, and I'm going into other areas of my life. We'll just start right there. And I said, right there, I'm going to believe that I've received my healing for my arm and my sciatic nerve. I'm going to believe I'm going to receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And someone I was sharing this revelation with, and I told them, I says, well, you know, I received my healing from my arm and my backside. And they went, really? And I said, yeah, I'm healed. You know what it felt like inside? You liar. Your arm, you still can't hardly move it. You feel it. It's there. It's everything. And you know what I told my mind? I said, shut up. You keep your mouth shut because you do not have a revelation that Jesus already bore my pain. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm already healed. I don't care what pain says. Now, I didn't tell them that. I said, no, I've received it. praise the Lord. And my mind says, you liar. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I've received it. Praise the Lord. And I've heard Christians say that, I'm not going to say I'm healed when I'm not. Well, when are you going to get healed so you can say it? My Bible tells me that whatsoever you pray for and believe that you receive, you shall have it. Remember the teaching you did on receiving and manifestation? That really went over big on the television. We got a lot of response on that program. Set a lot of people free. Because you see, they thought the receiving was when the manifestation was there. I found out that the receiving is when I get a revelation that Jesus already bore it for me. I don't have to carry it. The problem is you gotta say it. You gotta deal with your mind and you gotta say it with your mouth. Dad Hagin said, I dealt with my mind and I said it with my mouth. I'm more of a stickler for saying it than anything else. And he said, I always got it. Well, if you're complacent with the Word of God, you ain't gonna get no results because the Word of God has no life in it for you. You've allowed it to be choked out by the cares of the world, but you stay on the cutting edge and whatsoever you believe that you shall have, when you say it, it is gonna be yours because you're on the cutting edge. The Word of God is your life. It is your source. So I was confessing my arm and my sciatic nerve And about a week later, I'd forgotten all about it. It was weird. I don't know when it left. The manifestation came. I didn't know when it came. I just woke up one morning and I went to get dressed and glory to God. And I went to feeling and glory to God. And the Lord said, you should have said that when you first received it. Amen. Glory to God. The reason we don't step out more in our faith is we really don't trust the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. In Isaiah 53, you've got to catch this real good. Notice, He bore. He took the offense, the charges of our offenses. And then He goes on to say, He shall see His seed us and shall prolong our days. And the pleasure, you know what this word means for pleasure here? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in, notice, His hand. This word here, pleasure, in the Hebrew means to choose to bend towards something in great pleasure. People, you have no idea about the love of God has for you to go to His greatest depths to give you His grace. Now thank God for mercy. We find scripture says His mercies are fresh every morning. And then when the Lord told me that mercy is when a believer fails to hit the mark with God after he knows better, then it's God's mercy that will come on him, not His grace. Because grace, the completed work of Christ, or the work that was completed in Him that has to manifest in us, was predicated on Jesus' works, not any of your own. You can't get good enough. You can't say good enough. You can't do anything to think you have to earn for your physical healing. You cannot do it for mental healing, and you sure can't do it for spiritual healing. Now, I can tell when I got my healing. Why? I not only received it when I still had the pain, but guess what? This right here. I learned now my voice in my carnal mind. I tell it not to shut up. I know for a fact he's my own worst enemy, not Satan. Satan is too defeated to win a victory over me. The only way he can win a victory over me is to deceive me because of my position of strength. So he has to deceive me to get an advantage of me. But if you're self-deceived, no problem. You'll lose. Why? Because you're your own worst enemy. You don't have anything coming against you. You're just in agreement with yourself. And that could be disastrous, especially if it ain't lined up with the Word of God. And so my eyes are opened. Boy, were they opened. And it dawned on me. wow, that wasn't that hard. But the Lord said, well, you felt your healing now. Yeah. So you call that the manifestation? I said, yeah. He says, you're right. He says, would you know when you're mentally free? And I said, well, of course. He says, do you know you're born again? And I says, well, of course. He says, how do you know you're born again? I says, because the Word says it. He said, did you feel it when you got born again? No, I didn't feel it. He said, did you feel it when you got your arm healed and your backside healed? And I said, yeah, I felt it. He said, well, then you have confirmation of what you already received, don't you? Yes. Where's your confirmation on the new birth? Well, it's the Word of God. He says, really? Well, then what makes that any more different than physical healing or mental healing? The physical healing and mental healing, guess what? You get confirmation on that. But you have never, ever took a knife and slit yourself open, pulled yourself apart and looked in here and seen a glorified spirit, have you? Well, then how come you're taking the new birth as credibility? We're preaching on the power of the new birth. And matter of fact, the church as a whole will capitalize on the new birth. But when it comes to physical healing and mental healing, well, that could be done away with in the last apostle. We come up with all these weird doctrines. And Jesus' credibility covered all three the same co-equal. And I got news for you. If you're going by what you feel, then there isn't probably not a one of us in here that can really validate we're born again except by what we believe according to the Word of God. I'm being honest with you guys. Unless you want me to change my theology. Yeah, praise God, I received Jesus, I'm born again. How do you know? Did you feel it? No. Did you eventually feel it? No. Did you have anything make you say, you're born again? No. Well, then I don't believe you're born again. That's why the new birth is the most difficult to discover. Because with the new birth comes the right nature. And that's where your conscience comes in. And there are some people who turn to God out of their intellect rather than a revelation of what it means to get born again. And they're genuinely not saved. And they can go to church. And they can receive all the insight and everything and not be born again. Did you guys know that? Well, then how do you tell them the difference? You know them by their fruit. When a guy gets born again, he changes his lifestyle. There's a nature on the inside that changes him. He quits swearing. He quits running with children of darkness. He starts acting differently than those of the world. And Peter even said that. They look at you as some strange thing because you don't run and do the things you used to do with them. Why? There's a new nature on the inside of you. There's a lot of people that want fire insurance, but they don't want to live the life. Well, when you get to heaven, you ain't going to like it there neither. Now notice this. Verse 11 is probably the most powerful of all these verses, and 12. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Well, there are some Christians who don't think that he's still satisfied with Jesus' work because some Christians believe that God torments you. He causes disasters to fall on you to get you to turn to him. We just seem to forget there's a lot of them turn away from him. Because of that doctrine. Whatever brings death ain't going to work. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Notice this. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify. This word justify means to vindicate from wrongdoing. Many. For he shall bear their consequences. Because the word iniquity there is the Hebrew word consequences. For he... my righteous servant shall justify, vindicate from wrongdoing, for he shall bear our consequences. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare, nasa, to carry away the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. That is Romans 8:34. And made intercession. Now what some Christians believe is Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's sitting there and He's praying to the Father. Oh, I'm making intercession for this one. I'm making intercession for that. I'm making it. Oh, please don't let him go down the toilet. Do whatever it can to get him out of it. That's not what Jesus done. For He made intercession for the transgression. How did He make intercession for the transgression? You know what intercession literally means? To stand in for on behalf of. He made intercession for me. Why? Because He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Our works are done. His works are now amplified. Glory to God. I've seen God heal sinners. And because they didn't change, their life went into a worse condition than they was. I've seen people that received Jesus. Jesus told them, you're free. Don't go and do the same thing again. You'll get into a worse state. Glory. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The work has been finished. I don't have to do anything to get the curse. Jesus took the curse. I'm free. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Turn over to Romans 8:34. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We have such a glorious gospel. If we neglect our gospel, then how are we going to escape? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. And who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? He literally means one who is now in the presence of God, because he is not now praying for it. He has made it. The chastisement of our peace. If you don't have peace, you don't understand the chastisement. Glory to God. Now, go over to Galatians. Another one that was stemmed right off of Isaiah 53. I hope you got your shouting clothes on. I'll tell you what. Every time I get into this stuff, I am so elated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2 of Galatians. Start at verse 16. Praise the Lord. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You've done everything that I need of you. I thank you for it. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. This stuff is a little strong for the backslid. Look at verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now we have taken this over into the arena of salvation only. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that doctrine is going to stop in your thinking. Watch this. Glory to God. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Actually, in Greek, it says that I might live with Christ. That I might live with Christ. Now, I love this one. So I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Let's change this to the Greek meaning. With Christ, I have been co-crucified. Isaiah 53. People, do you think that God's grace would only work in salvation and not mental and physical deliverance? I hope you're not that shallow. I tell you, a week ago, it's been 2 weeks now, I was that shallow in my thinking. Until it finally dawned on me that anything else I desire, God, is co-equal with spiritual rebirth.
Yes. Amen.
It's co-equal. The only reason you carry your pains, your griefs, your torments, your sickness, your disease, is because your mind is allowing you to do it. You can be saved and go home early with a sickness and disease that is on the same level as your salvation. Same level. Unless you can show me in Scripture it's different. We have been co-crucified. Well, what does that mean? Just spiritually? I'm going to tell you what sin does, people. Sin has destroyed your inner being, your soul and your spirit. It has destroyed it. In order for Jesus to redeem you for your soul and spirit to be saved, He also has to redeem you from everything that nature produced in you. Same thing. That's grace. That is grace. When I got the revelation of this and I lifted my arm up and I felt this torment in my body, I says, you know, Jesus, it's so good to know that I don't have to carry it. I don't have to carry it. You carried it, either you carried it or you're a liar. Either you bore the consequences of my transgressions or you're a liar. And my God is not a liar. If it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, and for Him to carry it, my Lord is not going to die in vain. And did you know something? That even if you as a believer never enjoyed the benefits of nothing but salvation, and you stand in the presence of the Lord is going to be so excited to see you, He's just going to be sad that you didn't fulfill the completeness of your prolonged days that were bought for you, and He will grab you and hug you, say, come on in anyway. The stink of that flesh is off you. Come on in anyway. Glory to God. That is the love of God. Hallelujah. That's why loving God goes co-equal with your neighbor. They're one and the same. That's why He will not tolerate you to have anything against your neighbor, your brother, or your sister. Hold anything there. Because that's the whole premises of grace manifested for you all. For you all. Glory to God. I have been co-raised with Christ. Oh, I like this. Nevertheless, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is righteousness come by the law. Then Christ has died without cause. Is what it says in the Greek. Then Christ has died without cause. Now when I reach up for my healing, I say, I am not going to frustrate the grace of God. I'm going to receive my physical healing right now in my body. I'm going to receive deliverance from mental torment in my mind because Jesus paid the price and I'm not going to frustrate that cause. Glory. Isn't this good news? We're free. We don't have to worry about a curse being removed from us now. It's already been removed. Amen. These ministers need to get saved.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Oh, get up and dance! Glory to God! Sit there like a religious nut. Get up and praise the Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes! Run for it! Jump for it! Glory to God! Amen! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Glory, glory, glory. Many of us as Christians, we want Jesus to appear before us and say it so. He has appeared to me through this right here. If this said it, we got to receive it. Glory. 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 That's the way to go, Rosin. Get excited. Get excited. If you get emotionally carried away for the truth, then God's in your emotions. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, Bob. He was made poor that we might be rich. When you pursue the wealth that's due you, you're pursuing a grace that has been given you. Amen. 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 You were concerned about stepping out there and desiring success financially. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus paid it. We have a right to what belongs to us. The enemy would like to merchandise us, but the enemy can't merchandise us. You know, when you questioned your heart, I walked away and said, my Lord, the biggest giver I know of is Bob Chambly. I mean, you'd have to put a restriction on him if he ever did fall into a physical, natural wealth. You'd have to put a governor on this guy. Or he'd give it all away. Sometimes we don't know our own heart. The other friends know our own heart before we do. Amen, Bob. Glory to God. It's just the enemy'd like to put doubt there. And tell it, well, the reason it ain't working because, well, Jesus took the consequences for our wrongdoing. All Jesus has to do is look at our heart and know it's moldable and shapeable. Not that we promiscuously handle His grace. But bless God, I'm not perfect. I ain't going to be perfect. And never will. Even though I had tried my best to obtain for the perfection, I'll not arrive. Glory to God. Well, I might as well take advantage of it right now. Hallelujah. 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 That's what makes people put their foot down and say, that's enough. Hallelujah. Isn't this good news? This is good news. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy. If you got anything negative to say after this service, don't tell me about it. I'll enjoy the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Tim, we're going to pray for that
accident on your leg. You ready to receive? You want a rapid healing, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Don't tell me how bad it is. It might be too much for the Lord. I'm just teasing. You know I was. I strike that from my mouth, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord told me to pray for it this morning. You got pain in there now, huh?
A little bit.
Well, can I join my faith with your faith? Hallelujah. You can stand up for this, Father. In the name of Jesus, I lay believing hands on this ankle, this foot. Father, oh, there's the power of God. Father, I am in agreement with their faith that this is going to speedily recover. Praise God, I like your hairdo. Praise God. What'd you sit back down for? You got to walk on a little bit.
It feels good.
Yeah. More happened than everybody's giving themselves credit for. Well, did you guys get something here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think a lot more of you should have been running around this place. Praise God. We ought to act just like we are in a football game. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm so excited. I'm like a kid with a new toy. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. And Father, this word is going to continue to open up with power. With power. Not just in word only, but word with power. Hallelujah. We're headed for it. And Father, I pray that everyone here was blessed this morning. They get a revelation of what grace is, the completed work in Christ. And Father, may they get that, and may that get it down on the inside of them. I'm not going to cover this issue no more. They're going to get it, hallelujah, by acting on it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stand up for one last time. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we now close this service, this morning, Father, if there be anybody here, might be just visiting and the Lord, you begin to speak to their hearts, either about receiving the new birth or restoring the joy of their salvation that they once had. And so right now, Father, we want every head to be bowed in honor and respect of them and every eye closed. And I want you to be praying. And if you're standing here and you would like to reaffirm your walk with Him, hallelujah, or you'd like to receive the new birth, then we make the altar free for you right now. If you would like to step out and come forward, please don't hesitate to do it. And this applies to the young as well as the old. Praise God. If you're here and you'd like to receive salvation, if you're here, you'd like to restore the joy of the Lord that you once had, then feel free to come up right now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody? We have altar ministers here that are waiting for you. Praise God. 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 If you know people that need the new birth and they're your friends and you haven't witnessed to them, bring them to church. God will reach out and bring them into the kingdom. If they need healing or whatever it is, and you know they might go to churches, but the churches might not believe in healing, bring them and God will heal them. Praise God. Mental and physical. Hallelujah. Do the work of an evangelist. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then you're missing the greatest secret to spiritual growth there is. And that is to be able to speak to God on His level with a language given to your spirit. Hallelujah. Not your physical man, not your intellect, but to your spirit. If you'd like the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to feel free to come up. Anybody?